in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord and leave me here.
Welcome back to Phantom Island, presented by Homefield. Today, we have a very special edition of, let's call it Numbers and Numbers and Words, because we've got double the numbers, and I don't even know if I'm supposed to be words with Godfrey not here today, but I'll try to fill the spot for him. I have Bill Connolly, ESPN writer, author of Forward Progress, the definitive guide to the future of college football, and I might add, pretty nice little holiday gift if you're trying to figure out what to get family members and friends. And don't have any ideas, just go ahead and why not give them the future of college football that they can hold in their hands?
Even if it doesn't really reveal the future of college football.
Don't tell people that, Bill.
No spoilers.
The publisher really loved that title. I'm like, okay. Anyway.
And I also have Parker Fleming, college football consultant at Stats of War. He makes the graphs that make you mad online, and they're supposed you've said before, Parker, they're meant to make you specifically mad online, listener. And you can find his work at cfb-graphs.com. Parker, Bill, thank you for joining me today. How are you both?
Fantastic. It's hoodie weather.
It is hoodie weather.
I live out in the Great West. It's been hoodie weather for a couple months. It's getting on, oh dang, where's my jacket weather here for
was,
me here.
We're approaching like October 20th and it was still in like the mid 80s. I was getting pissed, but then now we're fully immersed all of a sudden.
As a native Floridian who doesn't live there anymore, I'm still adjusting to the concept of hoodie weather. It used to be hoodie weather was, oh, we're going to the movies. That was hoodie
right.
weather. So we are here to talk about strength of schedule. I want to lead this conversation by quoting you, Parker. This is a tweet of yours from November of last year. Almost exactly.
I don't even know what this is going to be. I can't be held responsible for tweets over a year old. I have no idea what this is going to be.
I'm not going to ask you to defend it. But I won't use the screenshot that it's quoting. The tweet is, strength of schedule ratings are just astrology for men. So I want to use that as the bridge for us to have a discussion about strength of schedule, how we talk about it, why we talk about it, the smarter ways we could or should talk about it. And I want to start from this perspective. And Bill, I want to get your understanding first. I think a lot of sports fans look at strength of schedule or hear strength of schedule and they think that's an objective measure in the same way that like bench press is a strength measure or something like that. But it's clearly not, right? There is no sort of like perfect measurement you go to that says like, yes, this is strength of schedule that doesn't have anything baked into it that is inherently subjective.
Right. Yeah. So I think the first time I was knowing that I was going to have this conversation, I was thinking back. I think the first time I started using a strength of schedule number with SP Plus back when I had an ampersand, I think I just used like the average opponent rating basically. And like, here's who's played the highest average opponent. And that worked fine. Except I noticed immediately that people would then say, well, Ohio State's first in SP Plus, but it's with the 84th ranked strength of schedule. They ain't played nobody. So that doesn't count. But when you have an opponent adjusted rating, like strength of schedule is already baked in, and they were like baking it twice. And so I just stopped using it immediately. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore because it's not at all. Because it really does feel like it's just a measure. Like people just use it as a how big a man are you kind of concept. And that's how it almost sounds like that's how the committee uses it sometimes too. Like they chose not to play a hard schedule. You don't want to reward them for choosing that. Like SMU last year, like they chose not to be in the SEC. But no, I mean, I ended up finding a use for it when I started, I guess it was after the playoff came into existence and I started to realize, you know, you could look at it from the perspective of, and this goes to your point, it's always a different interpretation, but I started using it as like, how would a top five team have performed against your schedule? That ended up being, you know, are you clearing the top five bar or not, basically, with your record? And that made sense to me. So I started using it in that way. People still misinterpreted it and still misused it, but I had a purpose. And it was completely different than the first one I used. So, it really is. It's it ends up being, it's subjective in that you can define it in 100 million different ways. And then, you know, people choose to interpret it correctly or not.
Parker, do you think the label is part of the problem, that people hear strength of schedule and that's not necessarily like what Bill's describing? How would a top five team do against your schedule? It's not necessarily, do you have the toughest schedule in the world? It's sort of like, how did you perform relative to very high expectations, let's say. From your perspective, Parker, like, is this a phrase that even makes sense? Or sort of like, how do you incorporate the concept of strength of schedule into some of your work? Oh, one sec. That concludes the free preview portion of this episode with Bill Connolly and Parker Fleming. If you want to listen to the whole thing and find out which teams are frauds and cowards, and no, I'm just kidding, we didn't do any of that. But it is a really in-depth conversation about strength of schedule and how it impacts so many different parts of college football. And if you want to hear the rest of it, go sign up for a paid membership at phantomisland.show today. Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber and presented by Homefield. Our theme music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard comes from the song Phantom Island from their album of the same name. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.